This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The reading begins at verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The reading begins at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A message especially for virgins. A message especially for virgins. A message especially for virgins. Our topic for this worship service. If you are a virgin, whether male or female, but particularly female, males ought to be virgins also, just as much so as females. But I'm of the opinion that females are at greater risk of losing their virginity against their will than are males. And thus, this message is particularly, especially for female virgins. I ask that you listen to me because it is difficult to find someone, I think, that will tell you the truth that I plan to tell you during the next few minutes. So if you are a virgin, I really ask that you truly listen to what I have to say. And you may ask, well, why is it so important that I listen to what you have to say, Reverend? Because you may not know your own value. You may not know the value of what you possess and the value of what you have to either gain or lose based on your decisions regarding your virginity. I will tell you some things that you have not thought of. During the next few minutes, I will speak some things that you have not thought of, and maybe you have not heard them. Now, at the outset, I will say I do not speak to you as someone who's always been holy, because there are those who would say, well, why are you listening to him? He is a preacher. What do you expect him to say? But I speak from the perspective also of having once been a crook. And so I understand how this world operates as it regards virginity, and particularly the virginity of females. And so I believe, not only believe, I know that if you listen to me, you can gain valuable information that you may never have gained had you not listened or if you turned away. This is about you and it's about God. It is important for you to understand that God is the owner of everything. God made you. You use the personal pronoun when you speak of your parents and say, my parents, and they are yours, but yet you don't own them, though they are yours, in terms of you do not possess them as property. They speak of you as their daughter, or if you're a man or a male, as their son. And indeed, you are theirs, but they do not possess you as property. God made you a total individual under him. So the only true owner you have is Almighty God. Now, he has given your parents certain responsibilities in raising you properly according to his will and his word. And they are obligated to do that. And they are obligated to chastise you, to teach you, to lead you, to guide you, to punish you when you need punishing. God, the owner of you, obligates them to do that. It is so important that you understand that your only owner is God. Now, if you happen to be in the United States of America, there are those who are in our current culture who are possibly in high positions who have the philosophy that the government owns children, or that the government has more responsibility for children than do their parents. Well, that is an absolute lie. That is an absolute outright lie. They do try to come into homes now and manage homes in certain ways, and they want the children to learn what they want them to learn. Well, that too is ungodly, but that is the current trend. But keep in mind that your parents do not own you as property, nor does the government own you as property, but Almighty God does own you and me and everybody and everything. Almighty God owns us. Now, most of your friends don't know that. And many people who aren't your friends and many who are older than you do not know that. So that's one thing for you to understand, that you are a unique individual owned by Almighty God. And your first and ultimate responsibility is to Almighty God. My first and ultimate responsibility is to Almighty God. Once you understand that, then you are ready to begin to communicate with human beings. And I say that because many human beings, and sometimes even your parents, will mislead you. This will cause some of you to raise an eyebrow and say, well, why would my parent mislead you? If you are a single person and your parent gives you a condom to use, that parent is misleading you. If you are a single person and that parent says to you, make sure that any intimacy you have with the opposite sex is consensual, that parent is misleading you. And you would ask, well, why? That's what my teachers teach me, and that's what I learned in other venues, and they have all misled you. God said that you are not to be intimate with the opposite sex or with any sex, and you shouldn't be intimate with any sex except the opposite sex, but only when you are duly and legally married to the opposite sex. Any other intimacy, and when I say intimacy, you understand what I mean, when you are intimate with them, and I believe you understand what that means, sexually intimate. Any other intimacy, that is, any sexual intimacy out of wedlock, is sin. Your owner, who is Almighty God, has commanded that you not do that. He has commanded that all human beings not do that. And now you are a little confused because you are saying, well, they have been teaching us that that is what we ought to do, and that is all right. They've taught us that if it's consensual and we feel that we can handle it, it's fine. And they've told you a great, big, ugly lie. You say, well, don't call my mother a liar. If your mother told you that, she told you a lie. If your daddy told you that, he told you a lie. If your teacher told you that, he told you a lie. If your preacher told you that, he told you a lie. If he told you that it's all right to have sex without being married as long as it is consensual, he told you a lie. That's why you ought to listen to me. I want to explain a word to you. The word fornication means having sex with somebody you're not married to. Fornication is done between two unmarried people. If you are married to someone and you have sex, then that's adultery. That is, if you have sex with someone else that you're not married to. So if you are single and you have sex with someone, that is fornication. If you are married and you have sex with someone that other than the person you are married to, that's adultery. So we're talking about two sins here. The sin of adultery, which is committed by a married person who has sex with someone that is not his or her husband. And then the sin of a single person who has sex with someone else who is single. Let's read again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in the Holy Bible in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning reading at 15, at verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning reading at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. Now, let's clarify a few things. This is being written to people who are supposed to be Christians already. And thus, we read about the spiritual connection, the spiritual affiliation of the individual with Jesus Christ. Some of you are not Christians as yet, but you are still virgins. And this sermon is for you too. I pray that you do become a Christian, because that certainly will benefit you in your attempt to make sure that you do not defile your body and do not anger God who made you. And so we're talking about virgins who are saved, and we're talking about virgins who are not saved. You and I are discussing two types of virgins. Let's talk, first of all, about the virgin who is not saved. God made you. Your virginity is a great sign of purity. Your virginity is a great sign of purity. From your virginity, in terms of your value as it respects your virginity, there is only one step forward and every other step is backward. There's only one step up and every other step is down. If you are a virgin now, the only step up is a wedding to a person of the opposite sex, to an appropriate person of the opposite sex. That's the only possible step up, a wedding. Now, one would say, well, a person may decide to become a nun or a priest and say that he or she will never partake in marriage activities. I would have to admit that that is the ultimate step and the highest step one can make, perhaps, if God calls one to do that. And I think that should be a calling. And if God calls one, yes, then certainly that is an ultimate high step. However, on the standard plane, plane, that is going up or down, the only step up is a wedding. Every other step sexually concerning your virginity is a step down, a step back, a lowering and degrading of yourself. Some of you will become angry and say, well, my mother had me out of wedlock, and I don't think I lowered or degraded her. I will not try to say anything about your mother, but I want to tell you what God's standards are. There are many people, first of all, in response to your assertion that your mother bare you out of wedlock, many people have been born out of wedlock for many various reasons. But it is not the will of God. It never was. But once you are here and you are living and breathing, then you are a unique individual. How you got here is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And I would better say to humble yourself under the almighty hand of Almighty God. Humble yourself. How you got here, whether you know your dad and all that, you had nothing to do with that. You had zero to do with how your mother and or your daddy got you here. And so that does not affect you. You can be as holy and as pure as anybody else, because God is looking at you now. He's not looking at you through your mother, but he's looking directly at you. And you have the opportunity. If your mother had you out of wedlock, you have the opportunity now to decide that you will not have a child out of wedlock, but that you will take the step up and get married. So let's not allow Satan to make you feel that you are some second-class person because your mother had you out of wedlock. You had nothing to do with that. But we are dealing with what God says. And you can comply. You can agree with God. And you can let God promote you. If you decide that you need to be intimate with someone, then what you should do is do it God's way. Get married. If you and your husband or you and your wife want to have children, then that is appropriate. But any other way is a step down and a step wrong. Now, the reason you need to listen to me about this is because our current society, by and large, is not teaching what I just told you. They have decided that they don't care what God says, and many of them don't believe in God. They will make fun of the idea of God, or they will thumb their noses at the very mention of God. That's why you're in danger. Because they will tell you that if you see someone that you like and you think that you would want to be intimate with him if you're a female, or be intimate with her if you're a male, that they will tell you that as long as both of you consent, that is, as long as both of you agree, that is, as long as both of you say, yes, let's do it, they will say it's all right. And I stand as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to say that that is a lie. That is an absolute lie. It doesn't matter who says it. Consensual sex out of wedlock is sin. S-I-N. Also, it violates your virginity. But you're in a society that says you ought to be sexually active. That too is a lie. The only way that you ought to engage in sex is within a properly constituted legal marriage to a person of the other gender, sex. You would say, well, what about the gay people? You will need to listen to some of my other sermons, and you will find out what God says about that entire situation. But I'm talking now about males and females, or who you call straight people. All sex out of wedlock is sin. It is either adultery or fornication. And both adultery and fornication are sin. This particular section of scripture that you and I read together mentions fornication with specificity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. Yes, this is being written to Christians, but why would you want to get involved in something that's going to drag you down, even if you are not a Christian? And again, I pray that you become a Christian. Then there are those of you who are people who need the approval of other people, and you follow other people. Oftentimes, young women follow women who are their own age or a little older or even older. Likewise, men oftentimes follow men who are their age or a little older or much older. And the great danger is those people, many, 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 many of them have been deceived. And they will tell you just the opposite of what I just finished telling you. That's why I'm bringing the Word of God to you. You need to realize how valuable you are. And you need to realize how valuable your virginity is. And I understand that those who've already been deceived will laugh, many of them, if they know that you are a virgin. And many of them will urge you to go out and participate in sexual activity. That's why you are at great danger. And then many of them will give you the instruments, the condoms, or the birth control pill. All of that is a part of the sin. Why, if you are single, would you be taking a birth control pill? God said sex outside of wedlock is sin. You have no need of a birth control pill. Now, there are those of you who say, well, my mama says that a lot of time women don't plan to do it, but they're on a date and they just get weak. So then you're saying that you assume that you will sin against God at some point. That's why you need to be saved. God can help keep you. Or some of you would say, well, my mama said that suppose I get raped. Well, then that's not your responsibility. God will handle that. Then you would say, well, but my mama said that if I got raped, that then abortion is wrong and I would have to have the baby of the rapist. That would be, as a minister of the gospel, that would be my counsel. If you are raped, bear the child. Because all killing is sin. God said, thou shalt not kill. And he did not say, thou shalt not kill except if you are raped. Now, you should not be raped. And no man should rape a woman. So these excuses for birth control, or these excuses for condoms, are just Satan's tricks to prepare you and set you up for fornication and or adultery. And I say again, it is unlikely that you can get this sermon in this exact way anywhere near you. There probably, and I'm not going to judge churches, but I don't know a church I could send you to. Well, maybe I know a few people who I know, but you need to listen to what I'm saying. Because if you do not, it is very possible that you may never hear a message like this. Particularly in many pulpits of today, you may never hear a message like this, and you should download this message and send it to your friends because they need to know. Now there are those who would say, well, if I do not engage, I may never know what it's like, and there's no guarantee that I'll ever get married, and that means I would live on planet Earth and never know the joy and pleasure of sexual intimacy. That is possible. That is possible. I will not try to deceive you. That is possible. But I will tell you that God does all things well. And if you trust Him, He is able to give you a husband if you are a female, to give you a wife if you are a male. But He may not want you married. He may want you to remain a virgin. So then who is more important? Those people who are telling you that, well, you may live and never be with a man. Who is more important? And then when you decide to engage in sex out of wedlock, you are saying in so many words that you don't believe anybody would ever marry you. Or perhaps you say, well, I'm doing it to get him to marry me, and more than likely he will not marry you. That is not the way to get someone to marry you. Why, Reverend? Because number one, someone who is really looking for a wife of quality will normally want her to be a virgin when he marries her. And number two, the guy who is running around taking girls' virginity for his own pleasure is probably not going to marry anybody anyway, or not one of them anytime soon. And so you lose on both accounts. It is better, and then on the third account, you could have a baby, and you could say, well, I want a child. My girlfriend had a child, and she knew she wasn't going to be married. They are doing that, and that is ungodly. That is ungodly. Many of you who are listening to me have already done that, and you're wanting to curse me, and you are saying, well, I couldn't find anybody to marry. I couldn't find anyone in my race. There were no men. There were no men of my caliber. I hear all of those excuses. But tell them to Almighty God, your maker and your owner, and see what He says about that. But what do I do with this child? You raise that child. You treat that child the absolute best. You take that child to church. And you let Almighty God bless that child with a holy life. And by the grace of God, that child will not make the mistake you made. Mistake, Reverend? Yes, you made a mistake by deciding to have a child out of wedlock. But now that that child is here, that child is just as good as any other child. That child is not second class in any respect, because that child had nothing to do with your doing that. And now you should tell that child that the devil fooled you, but you don't want the devil to fool her. You should tell that child the devil fooled you, but you don't want the devil to fool him in case your child is a male. I know you don't like me for this. I know you don't want to hear it, but it must be taught because it appears to me that few people are teaching it. Virgins, the great lie today, the big, dangerous, deadly lie is consensual sex. Anybody who tells you that you ought to have consensual sex, I started to say get away from them, but it may be your mama. But you beware of that person. That person does not know Almighty God. Anyone who says you ought to have consensual sex doesn't know Almighty God. Anyone who says you ought to carry a condom does not know Almighty God, even if that's your pastor. Now you may know him, but be deceived. Why would you carry an instrument that you should not use? Why would you carry an instrument that you should not use? So beware of women who tell you to carry condoms. Beware of women who tell you to get the morning after pill. Beware of women who tell you to take birth control. Beware of women who tell you to have consensual sex. Beware of men who tell you the same, whether it's your daddy, your brother, your counselor, your teacher, your professor, whoever it is. I stand as a minister of God. Well, Reverend, what should I do? Simple. You should remain a virgin until you are properly married. Every other step is a step back. Every other step is a step down. Remain a virgin until you are properly married. Your response would be, well, most of my girlfriends are sexually active. Well, do you want to be like them? Or do you have enough courage and enough faith in God to stand and be your own person? I don't try to be like other people. As a matter of fact, I don't want to be like other people. I want to be what God wants me to be. You would say, well, but other people won't like me. That is a possibility. But God will love you. God loves you. God's favor is more important to me than man's favor. I hope you have the faith to say the same. Protect your virginity. Don't allow anybody to have sex with you. Now there are females who find ways to have sex with females. Do not allow a female to have sex with you if you are another female. Do not allow a male to have sex with you if you are not married to him. And even with a male, if he has a wife, don't marry someone who has a wife. God talks about adultery. If you marry somebody who has a living wife, more than likely that is adultery. Now that will make a lot of people mad. That will make a lot of preachers mad to hear me say that. But that's what the Holy Bible says. Find you someone who is single. Find yourself someone who is single to marry. Or you can marry someone who is widowed. If someone has been widowed, then they are single. But there are so many people who've been in one marriage, out of that marriage, and they're going through marriage after marriage, and more than likely they're going to hurt you, but that's not the reason. The reason is God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Bible says if you put away your wife and marry another, you commit adultery. And he that marries her that is divorced committeth adultery. I'm the preacher. I'm just trying to set the record straight. It needs to be set straight because so many in our current culture have totally misrepresented the point of view of Almighty God. Virgin, your job is to remain a virgin until you are properly married to a person of the opposite sex. Male virgins, your job is to remain a virgin until you are properly married to someone of the other sex. And you would say, and all the boys will laugh at me. Well, who on earth are the boys? Are they God? Aren't you a man? Stand and be a man, man. I'm a man. I don't care what they don't like about me as long as God likes it. Stand and be the kind of man that you can be. Stop letting the boys tell you what you ought to do. Stop letting the old ungodly men tell you what you ought to do. Listen to a man of God. Everybody, almost, is running around trying to have sex, it looks like. That might not be the case, but that's what it looks like. Television full of sex, movie full of sex. That's why you are burning in desire for sex, because you are drinking it down in your spirit as you watch the sexual images. That is from hell. That is from Satan. It is not from God. That is designed to destroy your virginity. That's why a sermon like this is so very, very important. Now, I'm going to leave you with God's word. My job is to warn you, and I believe I have done that. I believe I've tried to show you the value of your virginity. I understand that many of the people around you, including your sisters and your brothers, are engaging in sex without being married, and including your mamas and your daddies, oftentimes are engaging in sex without being married, and in many cases, your married mamas and daddies are engaging in sex with other people. But it is all wrong. It is all sin. It is wrong, W-R-O-N-G. It is sin, S-I-N. You have a choice. I've given you that choice, or let's say that God through me has brought to your attention that choice. You can choose to protect your virginity, which I pray you will. But if you make some other choice, I declare unto you, it is a step back into sin. It is a step down. A step down. A step down. You disqualify yourself in many ways. I know a country where you cannot marry a preacher unless you are a woman of the highest caliber. And I understand why now. A preacher's wife has to be special. You cannot marry in that country. This is an island country in the Caribbean islands. In order to marry a preacher, you have to be a special woman. And I understand that now. You may be able to marry a preacher if you maintain your virginity. You may be that kind of woman. And not only in the Caribbean, I was talking to a woman from an African country. And she was talking about herself and her sisters and how when they were in their country, how people said that they were women of caliber, of high caliber. A woman has a caliber, and so do men. You can be a quality woman. And the greatest quality is your virginity. That's one of the greatest qualities. Being in Christ, of course, is the ultimate. And so if you are a virgin, you still have that opportunity. You still have that option. The fact that three-fourths of the girls in your high school class are possibly engaged in sex, has nothing to do with you. You are you. You are not them. Be strong enough to stand against them. One of the weaknesses of women is they seem they have to have the approval of other women. And there are so many ungodly old women. And so many ungodly middle-aged women, and now so many ungodly young women. That's why it's important that you stand. You stand. You be you. Let them laugh and watch their lives go down, 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 even as they make money and get this job and that job and do this and that. Don't envy them. Learn to value that which has intrinsic value. And learn that sex is used by Satan to trip up human beings. As regards sex, remember the preacher told you that almost any dog can do it. Almost any dog can do it. Almost any dog can do it. And I'm talking about the four-legged animal. So why is it that human beings are so intrigued with sex these days that they are willing to defy the living God to participate therein, when we know that almost any dog can do it? Virgins, this message is especially for you. But Reverend, what will happen? Trust God. Trust God. Trust Almighty God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. How do I trust him? Just read his word. Where do I start, Reverend? Well, this is a good place right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. The verses that we read, you and I, at least twice during this worship service. I'm going to read them again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. Know ye not that your bodies or the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God owns you. He owns everything. For those of you who are saved and you have the Holy Ghost, your body is that temple which the very Spirit of God lives in. How dare you lay down for somebody unmarried with the Holy Ghost inside of you? How dare you do that? How dare you do that? Someone says, well, Reverend, I've done that. Then you repent. God is waiting for you to repent. That's the one good thing about the great God. He is waiting for your repentance. All of you who've already done all these sins I mentioned, God is waiting for your repentance. And you are to repent right now. You are to repent, stop, and ask God to stop you. God, I'm going to stop doing the sin I'm doing. God, stop me from doing the sin I'm doing. Tell God what you're dealing with. He already knows, but he wants you to admit it. He knows what it is. He knows more better than you do. But he wants you to come to him and talk to him about it. He's always known about it. He knows what you're about. He knows what's inside of you. He knows what goes through your mind. He knows the anguish you feel. He knows how dirty some of you feel. He's waiting for you to come and talk to him about it. How do I do it, Reverend? Just start talking. Call this name and say, God, I don't know where you are. Really, I don't know who you are. But I heard the preacher say, if I started talking, you're listening. So God, here I am. I don't know anything about the Bible, God. I don't know that theology, and I've never been to Sunday school. But the preacher said, if I start talking, that you're listening. So God, what do I need to do? Tell me what I need to do. I need to get out of this mess, God. Because all that stuff that man just finished talking about, God, I've done a lot of it. God help me. Now, my dear friends, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins you did. That's what Easter is all about. That's what Calvary's cross is all about. You hear all the noise and commotion we make about Jesus Christ and about him being crucified, dead and buried, and rising again the third day. All of that in a nutshell is summed up in the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our sin brought death for us. And Jesus on the cross brought life for us. But we have to accept Jesus. That's why we say you need to accept Jesus Christ. He has paid the price for your sins. But until you accept him, that payment will not be applied to your sin account. You see, you've created a sin account in heaven, so to speak. And when you accept Jesus Christ, God is willing to forgive totally. It's not like bankruptcy where they put you in 7 years of you can't do this or that. God just totally wipes the slate clean. It's not like waiting 7 years. And so, my friends, accept Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. He died for your sins. The Bible says he rose for your justification. That means that he died to pay the penalty, the price for your debt. But he rose that you might be, in the eyes of God, totally clean. You are justified. You are no more the sinner that you were, but now you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It ain't like bankruptcy where you are sold for 7 years, but it's instantaneous. You are clean. You are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God looks at you as a brand new person. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be baptized. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In order to be saved and be baptized, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if one of your sons comes to you and says, Daddy, forgive this person. I know they did wrong, but That's okay, I'll take care of it, Daddy. More than likely, you, even though you meant to do something to them, you're going to forgive them. Well, Mama, forgive this person. I got him. He's my buddy now. He was against me, but now we're buddies. Now we're together. Jesus is the only begotten Son of Almighty God. He died for your sins. And when he tells God the Father is all right, you better believe it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for virgins. I don't think many people are preaching what I just preached. It is not a popular sermon in the year 2012 AD, but it is a much needed sermon. Oh God, help them to retain the words that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. Help them to retain the words I spoke to them pertaining thereto, and help the virgins to retain their virginity until they are properly married to a person of the opposite sex according to your will. Oh God, have mercy. For marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. But you will judge whoremongers, adulterers, sinners. You will judge them. Help them, Father, to take the honorable road. Help them to realize that they can enjoy whatever bliss there is in intimacy, honorably, within your will, with your approval, with your stamp of approval, if they just do it your way. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen, amen, and amen. This is light to guide our feet, the 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page.
For your faithfulness, it's your